Turn to John chapter 13. And by the way, verse 12 there. John chapter 13, verse 12. So after he'd washed their feet, and he'd taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? You call me," pardon me, "you call me Master and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." Lord, we ask your blessing upon the teaching of your word this day and the preaching of your word. And Lord, if there's a lost soul in the sound of our voice, we pray that they might come to you and be eternally saved. We pray for all of us as believers that we would be refreshed and blessed. Give me ability, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we talked about washing the disciples' feet, and of course, that's been a standard in certain churches. We used to have a church on Walton, where I lived and grew up, and it was just about two blocks from us, and it was a foot-washing Baptist, is what they were. And they would have a maybe once a month or once a quarter, they would have a foot-washing service, and they would all go there. Of course, there wasn't a dirty foot among them. When they went and had their feet washed, they had already washed their feet and got on clean socks and whatever, you know. Now, that wasn't the case in Guatemala, because 7 out of 10 did not have shoes. They were barefooted. They had big, flat feet, and it was amazing. And a group of people, very missionary-minded people, wanted to help the Guatemalans out, and they bought thousands of pairs of shoes and gave them away free in Guatemala. And the guys got to wearing the shoes, and their calluses got off of their feet. Then whenever the shoes worn out, they didn't have the money to buy other shoes. So it hurt them a little bit, the charity of what they were trying to do. But they had big, flat feet. And it was something else. And at the same time, in Jesus' day, they wore sandals mostly, it seems like. And your foot got dirty. You went down to some place that had a bath. Now, they didn't have our bathrooms and with our showers and walk-in tubs and stuff like that, that we are free-running water people. So their feet got dirty when they left the place where they went to get the shower, and they walked home. They were walking through dirt, mud, whatever. And so when they got in the house, they're clean every bit except for their feet. And so the least important servant or slave was a foot washer. And it's an amazing thing. They come here. Here Jesus, he begins to wash his feet and wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. And he come to Simon Peter. Verse 6, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Now, that's a tremendous statement. He said, "What I do, you do not know now." They knew what he was doing. He was washing feet. But that wasn't the primary purpose of the foot washing. And he's going to explain it to them. And he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And took a towel, girded himself, and wiped him with a towel. And when he got to Peter, here's Peter, he's the spokesman all the time. He said, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now." Well, they knew he was washing feet. So that's not the purpose. It's a different purpose. "Thou shalt know hereafter." He said, "Okay, you're going to learn what I'm talking about." And he's talking about an important thing. Peter said to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." You're going to tell me I can't wash your feet? Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." He's got to add something. Is that like you?
Amen.
Yep. Amen's right. There should have been a lot of amens on that. You tell God quite often in your prayers what you want Him to do for you. And you really do not know what the best thing is. I've learned in my old age to thank the Lord that for the prayers He didn't answer. I prayed for some things that I thought were the will of God. And I didn't get them. And I was somewhat disappointed. But you know something? Looking back on it from the age, I'm so thankful for so many prayers I prayed that I didn't get answered. I don't know if you've ever thought about them that much, but I spent a little bit of time praying, and I thought for sure that I was doing the right thing, being in the will of God and whatever. And yet as I look back on it, it's worked out all right. Can you trust the Lord when He deals with your prayer life? Yes. You think you need to trust the Lord because you can't see tomorrow. Amen. You can't see this afternoon. Amen. You take a look at what's happening in life and just the news every day. Things are happening to people that they had no clue was coming their way. And some of them are disastrous. Some of them are really a thing of sorrow. And especially something that you could not anticipate. But anyway, Peter said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet. If I wash thee not, thee hast no part with me." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." He said, "You're already clean with your hands and your head. You don't need that. All you need is to wash your feet. So let me do what I want to do, Peter." He knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, "You're not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he saith unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you?" Here again he say, "You don't understand what I'm doing. Do you know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, I am your Master and Lord. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Now he's talking about serving one another. He's not just talking just about the foot washing service and whatever. He's talking about serving. God is not necessarily wanting you to wash people's feet. He wants you to serve people. You know, we have a real hard time with that. Amen. I don't know about you, but most of the people that I've met in my 86 years on this planet have a hard time turning loose of self. It's a real problem in every marriage. It's a real problem in raising children. It's a real problem in any business that I've ever seen. We're all interested in self, aren't you? That's your number one thought. Your food, your exercise, your money, your bills, your heat, your cooling, your air conditioning, and wow, the blessings that we have. And the riches that we have. You realize how rich we are? Back in Guatemala, when I was in there, it was years ago, I was in my 30s, you got off the pavement. You went back 500 years. You walked back to the people that have just a little lot. And the lot that they have is an acre or two or something like that. And it's on the side of a hill, like sort of the Tennessee people, you know, that you walk one foot shorter than the other because they're always plowing around the hill. It was about that way in Guatemala. And you'd see a man walking down the thing with a nicapal, which is a head strap with a rope around it, and he'd have a big bunch of soda pop bottles, cases. He'd be carrying 3 or 4 cases of soda pop to go back to his village to sell, and that was how he made his living. Coca-Cola was there. I tell you what, the transistor radio was there in Guatemala when I got there. And actually, my mother did most of her sewing, most of her life, on a pedal sewing machine from Singer. And they were selling them brand new for $99 right there on the streets in Guatemala when I went there as a missionary. It's an amazing thing because the people didn't have electricity out to these villages. You know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. There's another I am.
Amen.
And it's in John too. I am Lord and Master. I remember so well when I was first reading my Bible in Exodus, where Moses is wanting to know what God's name is. And he said, I am. That sort of shocked me. I'd never thought about it that way. And he said, tell him I am has sent you. Well, have you ever thought about exactly what that means? He is Lord and Master. He is. He can say, I am. What about everything else you need? I am. God is all your need. And if you have God, and if you serve God, if you believe in God, and you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, you've got what you need for this life. And for eternity. Most of religion really, really has it wrong. Most of religion, even some Christian churches, you check off a list that I've read my Sunday school lesson, or I memorized my verse, or I came every Sunday for so long and whatever, and they think that's how you serve God. No, it's in your heart. It's in your spirit. And he's talking about a very important part of that right here. You do what I just did to you.
Amen.
I served you as a servant. I am your Lord and Master, and yet I got down on my knees and walked around in here. And by the way, Judas was there.
Yeah, it's true.
Judas was there. He washed Judas's feet. Now, the Pope just washed about six young men that were in prison somewhere. He washed their feet as a sign. And I don't have anything wrong with that. That's fine. Go ahead and do that. But I don't think that's the principal teaching that Jesus is trying to give us here. It's not just the show of being humble. It's the actual wanting to do what others need done.
Sure.
Some people really, they're living out in the bush. And you know why? Because they cannot follow any orders. I preached a lot in jails in early years, and I preached a lot in rescue missions and whatever. And I don't think I have the personality to take care of do a rescue mission. The people that they're dealing with, they're losers already from drugs and alcohol and from bad families and poor fathers and all sorts of things. And they don't want to be told anything. Well, you're going to go to the rescue mission. If you're going to eat, you're going to have to sit down at a table or something like that. And you may have to take a bath, or you might have to get some decent clothes that they've got there for you. But you have to obey some orders. Well, these people do not want to obey orders, and so they're out on the streets. It's a shame, but it's a very hard thing to do to help them out. I don't think I have that much selfless drive. I don't consider myself very good Samaritan. You know, the good Samaritan? I don't think I'm a very good Samaritan. And I tell you, I recognize I take care of myself. I'm still living by myself. Now, my children want me to move in with them, some of them. And it's hard for me to give up saying I'm going to go on my own as far as I can go. And when I can't, then I'll do what has to be done. But I'm very independent. That's self. I like to please me. I'm not real happy that I have to please you. And isn't this a problem all through humanity? All mankind? Wars are started because of that. Selfishness. Divorces come. Poor, poor marriages because somebody won't do their part. Have you ever had to work with other people in a work, a project or something? You know, there's some people that just don't get anything done.
Yeah.
You better to do it by yourself. Now that's not everybody. Bless your hearts. Some of you are sweet people. Some of you think of other people. Some of you go out of your way for other people, and I'm thank the Lord for you. And that's following the example of what Jesus was doing. Do you know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He wasn't wasting his time when he went around his favorite disciples. He wasn't wasting his time. He was putting them under an obligation. He was giving them an example. And they were supposed to follow his example. And what was that? To think of others better than themselves. We are amazing. I've given you an example. You should do as I've done unto you. Verse 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now there's a real principle. That works in our government. The ambassador is not greater than the president that sends him. But when that ambassador signs his name to a piece of paper in a contract, that's the same as the president signing his name. He speaks for the president.
Yeah.
Wow. What a responsibility. You better be careful who you make your ambassador. I've given you an example. You should do as I've done unto you. Now the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent is greater than he that sent him. Now this is if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He's quoting scripture, and he's talking about Judas. Now, Judas Iscariot was the treasurer of the group. John tells us a little later, because he was a thief, he bore the bag. And he had the opportunity that was in it. Money meant too much to Judas. He said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Well, that's everything that God gives us we need to try to do. And do it the best that we can, possibly. And that'll make you a happier person. If you will change your life by what you see in the scriptures, you will end up living a happier life. Now you will lose some of the friends you think you can't live without. But it's amazing. If they don't want you with Jesus, you don't need them. I've had dealings with people in the church, and it came and got saved and dealt in drugs and stuff like that. And very seldom does a person get off drugs if he keeps the same friends. And people don't like to give up their friends. Not even for something like that. I had a young man that I knew and liked very much, and he liked me. And he was very kind to me in lots of ways, looked up to me. And he went through about 5 rehabs, expensive rehabs. And he'd get back on drugs. He never changed his friends. He never changed the people that he worked with. And that's where he got the drugs. He got the drug. Well, you're feeling bad? Well, take this pill. It'll be all right. And he's back and he's hooked again. Finally committed suicide. Shot himself. After 5 rehabs, he figured he just couldn't do anything else. That's a sad thing, but I'm pretty sure, in my estimation, in my judgment, he didn't change his friends. He didn't change the people he was working with. And therefore, when he get tempted, they had it for him and they gave it to him. And they didn't suffer as much as he did. Real shame. Now, verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He's talking about Judas Iscariot. Verse 19. His is an important verse. You ought to mark this down where you can pick it out every time you look at the chapter. Now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am He. What is one of the most beautiful things about this Bible you've got? This old Jewish, Old Testament scriptures, these New Testament writings that were given by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, these letters written by these great men. They tell you the future. They tell you about your own weaknesses. They tell you about your sins. You know what He's doing when He's doing that? He's giving you an out. He's giving you a way through. He's giving you something that can improve you and bless you. Where you come down as an old man and you can say, my life has been blessed. Instead of I've been beaten up and jailed and whatever all of my life, never making a win. I tell you before it come that you may believe that I am He. One of the greatest studies and one that I spent more time on than probably any other was Daniel in the book of Revelation. Because they predict the future and they predicted it a long time ago.
Right.
And you can take Daniel and you can take that statue and you can go right all through past history. Coming up to Christ and all the way to the end. And the book of Revelation, people still are wanting to study that all the time. It's been studied all the time. All sorts of ideas about it. When I was first went into Guatemala, I had been a pastor and an evangelist, and then I became a missionary, an independent Baptist missionary. I was in Quetzaltenango, where there were a lot of Indian tribes. And they had beautiful stitching and stuff like that in their clothing of the women. The men all dressed just like sort of white pants and shirt. But the women were dressed beautifully when they decked themselves out. And by the way, to buy one of those clothes for my little girl was too expensive for a missionary as I could be. I couldn't get one. But they were absolutely beautiful. Verlene just loved Guatemala because of all the different Indian tribes. Each tribe you could tell different because of the stitching and the coloring of the clothing on the clothes on the women. Many of those missionaries, they asked me to teach them Revelation. And so I had, while I was starting my church and starting a lot of evangelism and whatever, I had a Thursday night or something, I forget which day it was, where the foreign missionaries would come to my house and I would teach them Daniel and the book of Revelation. And there are people doing that right now. You can learn a whole lot. You know what it makes me do? Believe God. When I look at what Daniel said and when Daniel wrote it, I say, wow, he had the truth. And that's exactly what happens through the Bible. I come to the position, and this is still my position, I believe this Bible is the Word of God in English. I don't have to correct it. I don't have to change it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I just have to believe it.
Amen.
Understand it the best I can and then believe what it says. And there's another thing about that. I believe Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world.
Amen.
I believe He's God in the flesh.
Amen.
And bless your hearts. Believing in Jesus gives you eternal life. And forgiveness of all of your sins. Not just the great, big, ugly, wicked sins, but the sins in your own mind where you're not giving God the credit He needs, you're not giving Him the service that He needs. And it's a gift. It's not because you come to Sunday school every day. It's not because you memorize a few verses. It's not because you give some money. It's a gift. That is the only way salvation could be eternal life. The only way. God gives it a gift. Because bless your heart, if you had to fulfill anything for it, you'd lose it. Have you come to know yourself that well? You need to know yourself. You need to know enough about what you really are. You fail all the time in your mind. And praise God. God gives a salvation that is wonderful. I think about it and I just praise God. I enjoy this. I can't sing anymore. I have calluses on my vocal cords from preaching too much. And if I sing one stanza of a hymn as I like to sing out, I won't be able to talk for a week. And so I do my preaching and then I listen to you sing. I love to hear these old songs. They're beautiful to me. So, verse 19, I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Now, oh boy, take a look at this verse. You talk about a big verse? This is a big verse. You may think you're not a very good witness, and you may not be. But if you know that you are saved and you know why you are saved and you tell that to somebody else and they believe it, they receive it. And they receive the God that you're telling them about. Wow. Now when I first started this church years ago, I built it basically by knocking on doors between 7 and 9 at night and getting into houses. You don't hardly get into houses anymore. But I used to get invited into houses all the time and would lead people to the Lord. And it was simply giving my witness and telling them what God had done for me and then showing them the verses of scripture out of their own Bible where God said it was a gift. And would you receive that gift? Would you believe that message? Wow. What blessings. And then I've been up to knocking on doors. And they got a big glass window, you know, in the front. You can see all the way back through to the kitchen. And I walk up the door, and I see the people in the house. And I bang on the door. They don't come. They saw it was the preacher. They saw somebody. I don't want to listen to this guy, you know. And so I would sometimes knock on their door a little more often. Just to pester them. That's terrible, I know. Now, this is a tremendous statement. I don't know if you've thought it through. I got a wow in my Bible right beside it. He that receiveth whomsoever I send. Has the Lord laid on your heart a lost person? Is there someone in your family or at your work or at some of your pleasure, or just friendship, has the Lord laid somebody like that on your heart? Then you might ought to go and give them your testimony. You might ought to go and see if you can possibly reach them. Because according to the promise of this verse right here, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. Wow. When I was first saved, I was reading my Bible quite often, and I went visiting with the assistant pastor in the big church that I was a member of. When I got saved, I was in a Southern Baptist church in Roswell, New Mexico, Calvary Baptist Church, and they were running about 500 in Sunday school. That was attendance. That wasn't the numbers they had on the church books, but that was attendance. Well, he had an assistant pastor. He was not a real good pulpiteer, but my, he was a sweet guy. And he was Mr. Personality. He could get in anybody's door. We would go up, and he got me to visit with him. My testimony was pretty good. And so I would go visiting with him a night or two a week. And we would go and he'd get us into the house and he'd say, Linda will tell him your story. And I'd tell him, and in those days I cried all the time. I couldn't give an invitation without weeping. I'm sort of harder headed or sorrier person now. I can give an invitation without crying. I apologize to you for that. And before long, they'd be weeping. And we won people to the Lord right and left, right after I got saved. We just won people to the Lord, just right and left, me and this guy, and he was a real nice guy. They were receiving me as sent to them by God. That's what he's telling you here. Whomsoever I send receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Wow. That's an amazing statement. But it's happening every day. It's happening every day. Somebody is believing somebody's testimony. We ought to get on the ball and make sure we give testimony, or we give out gospel tracts. If you're not capable of, some of you just aren't speakers. My wife, we would argue, and I've told this so many times, we always argued. And I would tell her, blah, 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 you know. She wouldn't answer me. Next day, I had a letter, single space typed. She got all her points. She's a very smart lady. She was a very smart lady. And so I would take that letter, and I'd go in, and I'd go, blah, 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 you know. Worked out all right. Whomsoever I send, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. If they receive my testimony of what God did for me and believed it and got saved, they receive God. It's a beautiful thing. Now, it's also in Matthew. If you want to look it up in Matthew, Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. I'm going to read several verses with you because it's one of the important things I think about this chapter. Matthew 10:40. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. What? You ever read that verse? Did you ever think about that verse? Wow. The prophet comes, I believe he's a prophet, I take his message, and I get his blessing. That's amazing to me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Amen. How about that? You need to receive God's people as God's people. You need to recognize the Holy Spirit of God in somebody in a changed life, and that's one of the biggest things you need to think about having a changed life. You need to quit some things. Smoking, drinking, gambling, cussing, adultery. Need to quit watching some kinds of movies. You need to quit watching some kinds of things on the internet. And you ought to check what your kids are looking at on their computer. Bless your hearts. It's a temptation. It's captured mind after mind all around the world. Humans are wicked. Humans are selfish. They're self-centered. You are yourself. You know it. Amen. A cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple? You won't lose your reward? How about that? That's not salvation. Salvation is a gift. This he's talking about is rewards. Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. I support missionaries. I support them every month. Been doing them for years, doing it for years, since I came back from the mission field. When I first started this church, I was the only one supporting missionaries. I supported three different missionaries that I knew and I really had confidence in. And when we got our first mission conference, it was because Verlin and I thought we had to introduce the church to missions. And we probably had about 40 people at the time we did the one. We bought probably 50 missionary biographies and passed them around through the church for 2 or 3 months. They'd bring them back, somebody else pick them up, bring them back, pick them up. We had a mission conference with Brother Joe West over Town East Baptist Church. He knew more about missions than anybody I knew. So I asked him to preach one. He said, well, the only time he had left was a week in December, not a very good week. Wow. Got 40 people, preached 1 week mission conference. 10 people surrendered to the mission field out of my 40. You got to be kidding me. Lord, I didn't mean that. Lord, I was just trying to raise the offerings a little bit. No. 10 of my people, one of my sons, Billy's the first one to set out. Wow. Yeah. As you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. What a tremendous teaching. You really ought to study these verses about how God thinks. You know what helps you to know how God thinks? And some of the things, the way God thinks, would be real good for you to understand and deal with God. He does not think like you think. He is not always out for himself. He is out for many people. He was out for me. Oh, my life was changed. Smoking, drinking, gambling, and cussing. Those are the four things I quit when the day I got saved. And fighting, I forgot that. And I got in a fight the first day after I was saved. A mechanic hit me in the face when I didn't agree with something he said. And I just got saved. And all I could think about, turn the other cheek. And so I'm cussing him out while I'm telling him, hit me on the other cheek and I'll mop the floor with you. Well, it didn't sound very like I'd been saved, did it? But I did. I got saved. Bless your heart. And I never hit him back. And from that day, that September the 1st or the 2nd, I guess, September the 2nd, I haven't had a fight. Oh, I've been tempted. I got a temper. I got a hard head. I've got a stubborn will. Well, I won some and I lost some. Ye, as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Do you realize that serving God and trying to help other believers are backing up other believers? God Almighty looks at it. He sees what you're doing. God, He forgives you. I don't know how many times I've asked for forgiveness for some of the same things. Selfishness, stubbornness, foolishness. I think, Lord, I sure wasn't thinking very well there. Forgive me. Yeah, I know you forgive me 3,000 times, but you've already forgot them. Did you know the Bible tells you He's forgot them and He forgives them? You remember a lot of your sins, but He doesn't. And He's the only one that can forget. I can remember things I did as a teenager that were so stupid, foolish, wicked, selfish. How about you? What you need to do is confess it. Lord, I've been stupid. Lord, I've been selfish. Lord, forgive me. Yeah, I know I've gone before, but forgive me. Sometimes you can't forgive yourself, but God can forgive you. Far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. East and west never meet. They're going. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
As high as the heavens. How high is that? Man, it's way beyond anything in my imagination. If all of these scientists are right, and I believe most of them are right when they're talking about the expanse of the universe. Wow. That's how far he removes your transgressions from you. If you're not saved, don't walk out these doors today without getting saved.
That's right.
Get a hold of one of these preachers. We got five pastors in this church.
Amen.
And you got a lot of other people that if they're carrying a Bible, they just might be able to tell you an answer to your question. They just might be able to tell you how they got saved. They just might help you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and change your life for the rest of it. I thank the Lord for all the beautiful blessings. Tremendous teaching. I think this verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth, whomsoever I send, receiveth me. That's Jesus. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. That's God. That's a tremendous verse. A verse you ought to memorize, a verse you ought to get into your mind, a verse you ought to mark in your Bible so that you'd notice it. Maybe write it on something and put it on the refrigerator. Wow! And that makes your witnessing even more important. You're testifying to whoever's on your heart. It really is. Because if God laid them on your heart, then God just might be wanting to move you to give a testimony to them so they can receive him. And that's the way the gospel goes out. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. The best thing you know or ever have known is life. Think of all your comforts, your food, your companionship, your love, your work. Wow, it's all because of life, because you're alive. All because you're alive. And he wants to give you eternal life. What is the opposite of that? Eternal death. Hell is real, friend. Hell is just as real as heaven. And a whole lot of people, when we bury them, put them in on the route to heaven when they're probably in hell. Everybody's not saved. You need to believe on the Lord, and you need to trust him with your life, and you need to change some things in your life, and you need to take the Bible and believe it.
Amen.
Just take some verses and see how they could change your life. I'm 86 years old. If I'd have kept smoking, I was smoking about 2.5 packs a day when I was 20. I started smoking at 5. Crawling up on the mantle and getting my daddy's rolled cigarettes down and smoking them when I was 5. I'd already been dead by Black Death. I wouldn't have made 86. I might not have made 60. Wow. Poor old John Wayne, he smoked 6 packs a day. Well, let me tell you what. I never did do any good drinking beer or liquor. Never helped me at all. Never did any good smoking. And cussing, that was not done in my house. I was the exception. My daddy's biggest cuss word was dagnabbit. You might not have had as good a daddy as I did. I had a good daddy. And mama. Bless your hearts. Did you have a good one? Did you have someone pointed you to Jesus? If you had one that pointed you to Jesus, thank your lucky stars.
Yes, sir.
Because a great majority of the houses that are out here, they don't have what you have.
That's right.
Whomsoever I send receiveth me. He that receiveth me, he receiveth him that sent me. Hey, that's God. That's a promise right there. I think it's beautiful. God bless you.